Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody.
This is Ken Shepherd, along with Dana Lee. And the show's called Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. Our call-in number today is 347-989-1329. I'm going to read a disclaimer, and then I'll go over a few other things, and we'll go ahead and get started. Please note this show is intended only for the listeners. All investment information contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips, Inc. or Ken Shepherd in any manner. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of this email, the content of this show, or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that can help you understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. Always use your strengths to fund your weaknesses. What we mean by that, basically, is if you have something where you could help somebody else and help yourself in the process, it's always good to do that. When it comes to deal making, if you don't have the money and somebody else needs a deal done and they have money to buy it, find what they want, get paid, and use the money for what you need. This is kind of just as an example. Website is www.creativeflips.west.com. Telephone number 24/7 is 310-358-7087. Email fci@packbell.net. Twitter is @KenShepherd and Facebook is Facebook.com/KenShepherd and Facebook.com/CreativeFlipsInc. We usually have $300 to $500 million in process depending on where we are. I've been doing this about 30 years. All the shows in the archives are free. Please tell everybody in the world to listen, download, play them for their friends, and join our radio audience and become part of our network in general. We've closed a lot of business. We have $80 million in closings on our website, many more that are not on there for confidentiality reasons. And we also did a soft move of funds in the recent past for up to $500 million. One of the ways you can connect with investors is Ken RE Radio. That's KENREradio.com. Connect with over 150,000 investors at no cost and meet a lot of people and close deals and let us know whatever you close. So we're very happy to have you with us today. Again, KenREradio.com is a wonderful source, and we use it every day ourselves. And it's the biggest on the Internet, and we'd love you to become part of our community there. So thank you very much, and we're about to get ready to the show, so let's talk about the show today.
Well, great to have everybody with us again. I have Dana Lee with me, and we have a wonderful guest today. His name is Joe Kober. Joe, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, great. So Joe is a colleague of ours and has been a – I'll give you some of his background as an attorney. He's been a lawyer for 41 years in California, the last 38 of which has been devoted to his practice almost exclusively to real estate. Undergraduate degree from Yale Law University of California and graduated with honors and was an editor of the Law Review. A real estate finance professor at UCLA Extension for the last 32 years. Wow. Real estate broker since 1979. Since 79 has invested in, developed, syndicated, and loaned money for real estate and has been a frequent speaker on real estate topics. So, Joe, welcome to the show, and it's great to have you. And, you know, we have an audience from all over the world listening, so we'll talk about a bunch of different stuff with you. I know you prepare a list of questions. I can go through those. And we'll kind of step it out so we have enough time to hopefully answer those and any calls that come in. And, of course, people can listen in the archives. So first thing I'd like to kind of ask, which I think is important for a lot of listeners, is this. And these are questions that you suggested that we propose, so we're going to ask them. And if you could be gracious enough to answer them, that would be perfect. So why would anybody use a real estate attorney if you're a novice? Are you there, Joe? Joe, are you there? Dana, are you there?
I'm here. Joe, can you hear us?
Joe, can you hear us? Okay, I think we lost Joe for a second. He'll probably call right back in. I don't know what happened on the call. But in any event, the first question that I wanted to ask Joe is, why would anybody utilize a real estate attorney if you're a novice investor or have limited capital to invest? Well, I'll try and answer that until Joe gets back on. I think we lost him. I'm sorry about that, everybody. But I think you would use a real estate attorney if you're new at this and if you have limited capital, because you want to make sure you have good guidance as you're going into this industry, as you would go into any business. It's really important. There's Joe. Joe, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I don't know what happened, but we're back.
That's okay. So let's just kind of go forward. Could you please answer why somebody would utilize a real estate attorney if they're a novice investor or have very limited capital invested? You know, figure it, just take about 2 minutes to answer that, would you?
Sure. There are a number of things that lawyers generally do, but a real estate lawyer has some specific knowledge that can benefit and experience in that area. It's important for the audience to know that what goes on for real estate lawyers, their role is different in different locations. In California, where I practice, we have lawyers handling deals, but they do not handle an escrow or title function. Other states, for example, New York, lawyers actually sit at the closings and do that. So there are differences right there. Lawyers, of course, generally, and real estate attorneys specifically, help you understand what the laws are, but they also help you focus on how to do a deal, what are the alternatives that you have, and what are the ways in which you can evaluate the risks, because you need to know what is the upside, what's the downside. People ask, well, gee, how come I can't just pull a contract off of the web? And the problem is those contracts are generic, or they are by the real estate association involved, brokers or whatever, but they aren't slanted toward what you need, and the real estate attorney can really then shape those kinds of things. Real estate attorney also will help in negotiations on the matter so that you understand what your choices are, where you might be willing to give something in order to get something. And real estate lawyers also probably have the experience and contacts to facilitate things. I've worked with many people in building departments and stuff like that, and by reason of that, I can get in where a lot of people get stymied. So, and the real estate attorney also may have other sources to help you. If you don't have a CPA or an insurance agent or whatever that you're comfortable with, we can recommend and work with them.
What a great, great answer. Well, you know, one of the things that we always talk about is utilize people that have strengths where you don't. And just to kind of maybe expound on what you said for just a minute, I think it's really important for people to have experts around them, especially if you're getting into an industry where you're not familiar with all the different legals. And even if you are, you should always have an attorney working with you on every deal. Anybody that does otherwise, it's really not a good idea, you know, and we've always made sure that all of our documents and everything else, you know, are always reviewed by an attorney as well as escrow or title, you know, so that we make sure that everything goes the way it should. You know, it depends, obviously, on where you are. You know, it would be better for you to have an attorney that is local to you. However, it sometimes is a matter that is not necessarily specific to an area. And, you know, so I think it's all about just giving good, solid information. And I think what you said is so important when it comes to networking. Like, your network has a certain obvious benefit and value. If somebody connects with you, they're not just connecting with you. They're connecting with everybody that you're connected to. So if they need a good escrow person and they're doing a deal, or they need a good CPA or whatever, you may know somebody that you trust, or investors or whatever. I mean, you have obviously done a lot of different things, not only as a principal, because I know you told me you invested in units and stuff, but also, you know, helping other people put deals together and maybe syndications and things like that. So one of the things that I think is really good is that I always tell people, utilize your network, build your LinkedIn, build your relationships, create more contacts. because the more contacts you have, the more reach you have. The more reach you have, the better chance you're going to have of getting a deal done. And I have many times where people say to me, you know what, this deal isn't for me. And I write back to them, well, if it's not for you, do you have any referrals that you might be able to offer to me as a gracious consideration? Many times I never hear back from them, you know, after that. But sometimes I do. And I've actually closed off those referrals and paid referral fees at times. So, you know, it's all very dependent. So that's a great, great answer to that question, Joe. So let's go to the next one that you said is, how should an investor or potential investor that is a listener go about selecting a real estate attorney?
Okay. This is a process that involves both the investor doing some homework and the lawyer being able to communicate all the benefits that this lawyer is going to bring to the table. When I say that the listener needs to do some homework, it's going to be really helpful for the real estate attorney to know what you think you're coming in for. What is it that you think is your goal? Because we'll then explore it and find out if there are other things that really dovetail with that or even are more important. It's important that if you do get a recommendation, if that's how you make the contact from the lawyer, you really vet the recommendation. If you get a recommendation from your bartender, that's probably not going to be that. If you have a trusted advisor that says this is a lawyer to interview, I think that's the start. When considering the real estate lawyer, you don't want to limit yourself simply by price. What's more important is value. You want to get bang for your buck, and if you go to the cheapest person, it may not necessarily be that way. We know that in all other areas of endeavor. You want to find out whether the real estate attorney will be handling matters himself or herself, or whether they have junior people on staff. And if they do have junior people, lower price for sure, what parts of your matter are going to be handled by the each group, and what experts will they work with? You want to also be prepared for the attorney to ask you a number of questions, which will help the attorney ascertain, really, you know, what are your priorities? I would expect to ask an investor, what is your age and your goals, short-term and long-term? What are your financial resources? What's your time availability? If some people don't have that much in the way of money, but they have the time to be, out in the field syndicating and doing work on the ground. How good a decision maker are you? That's going to really be important, because if you're going to be the general partner of a partnership or the managing member of an LLC, that's really going to put you in a situation where you have fiduciary duties, and you want to make sure that, you know, you're really comfortable in doing that, and the real estate attorney then will be your backup, you can call, to embrace those decisions. Do you prefer an active or passive role? Some people like to be investors, and they come in and they say, what I want you to do, Joe, is to read this prospectus or read this agreement and make sure I'm protected, but I'm going to be a passive investor. Other people come in, they want to be the syndicator, they want to be the person whose property is involved and hands-on. What's your level of risk tolerance? It's very important, because not everybody is a leverage person. Not everybody is a risk taker, and you have to know what's there, and you have to be able to disclose that kind of information if you put a group together. Are you kind of an organized person or not? Do you have a team, a management, whatever, that will be able to back you up? Who are your other professionals? We talked about that a little before. Are they strong if we want to work with them on tax advice or other things? Would they really be able to meet the requirements? Then you also want to ask the real estate lawyer what experience he has in a specific area that you're dealing with. If, for example, the problem relates to a dispute over a boundary, it's not going to do you any good to have the real estate lawyer who only knows how to write leases. So you have to find out what's the specific experience. And frankly, if you come to a real estate lawyer for a transactional matter, it's helpful if that real estate lawyer has also had some litigation experience to understand what's going to go on, to be prepared for it. And if it's a litigation situation, you want the litigator to be able to be a person that can help shape a settlement by knowing what you ultimately want to have if you have an agreement made. You want to find out of the real estate lawyer how much of your practice really is real estate. Some people dabble and virtually exclusively a real estate lawyer, so I have the opportunity to spend much more time focused on details, which I wouldn't if I were doing a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
How practical is the lawyer? Sometimes you get people will tell you all these kind of academic things. All of us have seen buildings designed by architects that, are kind of beautiful but not that functional. You want to have somebody that does that. And the last thing is, how responsive will the lawyer be? Because you want to get calls back. You want to be able to know that the person is going to keep you in mind and quickly respond to your needs.
Well, those are very, very important. Obviously, these are things that are really helpful, I'm sure, to our listeners. And also, it's always good to hear again, what we're thinking in our heads to, kind of reinforce that we're all headed in the direction we should. So the next question that you had on your list, and then we'll go over a couple of other things, kind of expanding on some of the things you said, is how do real estate lawyers charge for projects they work on?
Yes. Most lawyers in the real estate field do have at least a significant part of their practice that they bill on an hourly basis. It's important to understand what not only the hourly rate is, but do they bill in tenths of an hour and that sort of thing. Are there items that they will do that really aren't charged items? I often have some things that I will do extra because I want to give the client, the best I can. You also have to find out what your exposure is for out-of-pocket costs. If you're going to have, experts hired or you're going to do other things, you really need to get some idea because the lawyer is going to pass that cost on to you. The other way in which you can bill for real estate matters is to negotiate an arrangement flat fee. In that situation, both sides are really not sure how much time the lawyer will spend and how complex it will be. So each side is trying to, find a number they can be comfortable with. And there's some degree of risk on both sides. Lawyer goes over. That's his problem. If he can make a magical resolution of a deal early, well, then the flat fee, he got it paid for less work.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, wonderful stuff. Okay, so the next question. Go ahead, Dana.
I do have a question. In our talking last week, Joe, you said something about information that attorneys can access for free. I would love to know what that is, and if there are occasions to approach an attorney about getting that information, maybe on a contingency basis, if I close the deal or if I, that kind of thing.
Well, I focus on what are the kinds of things that I can categorize as value adds. I want to give value to my clients. And some of those value items are based upon my knowing where they can go and get information without it costing them, but they wouldn't really necessarily know about it if I didn't have the opportunity to guide them. And
right.
An example of that is when people want to get information about title situations, they don't have a real estate broker, they're not working on a deal with a broker, what do they do? Well, if you contact your real estate attorney and he has, solid contacts as I do with title insurance company, give them the number of the customer service person at the title company, and they're delighted to give information for free. Why? Because ultimately they know that they're going to be getting title policies and doing this, so it's a, you know, it's a promo. And there are, you know, there are other kinds of things of that nature. If, for example, there are documents that you need to get, and we have an attorney service that we can send to get them. The attorney service we pay for on a monthly basis. They're going there anyway, so if it's something that can help you, we can do it, no extra cost.
Nice.
Well, that's obviously a very, very – I'm sorry, go ahead, Dana.
I was thanking him. That's good information.
Yeah, well, you know, because lots of times, like, I'm involved in a deal, interestingly enough, and it kind of stays to this topic, where we've been asked to inquire onto whether or not a particular asset is available, and the guy wants to buy the asset for $1.3 billion with a B as in boy in cash. And it's a hotel casino. And why he wouldn't think to just make a phone call to the president of the bank, I don't know, but I did. And they went, wow, I can't believe that you made a call to the president of the bank. It's one of the biggest banks in the world. And I said, what's the difference? You're talking about making an offer for over $1 billion, okay? So what's the difference, you know? So, you know, but here's what's important and why I bring that up. The way I knew who to call in addition to the bank is I called the lawyer who was on all the closing documents when the property was foreclosed because it's an REO. And the lawyer also is helping us with the bank, and I put the lawyer's information inside my memo to the bank yesterday so that they would know that I had contacted their lawyer and that we were trying to work to get a solution as to whether or not this asset is available. And you know, are they interested in selling it, and is $1 billion or more an appropriate price? Now, the point I'm making, I guess, there is the way we got that is by calling our title company here, who referred us to the title company where the property is located, and that title company did some research for us, all at no cost, and sent us an entire story, a history, and all the profile information about the asset. So we were able to make a phone call to the bank and everybody else with all this information in front of us. And the way I got originally that title company was through a local lawyer. So it's like, you know, you're right. I mean, the lawyers and, you know, have access and relationships with people that normally you might not be able to get to so easily. So let me go to the next question and the last one on your list. We're running to about 7 minutes left on the show. It's been a great show, by the way. Thanks for joining us. What other valuable benefits which a real estate attorney might provide are important to think about, you know, such as you mentioned the names of other highly qualified professionals and contacts and such like that. I mean, do you want to talk a little bit more about that kind of and expand on that a little bit?
Yes. I'm a big believer in networking. And if the real estate attorney is someone who has a lot of experience, is viewed very highly, and he's going to have probably some great contacts so that when you have a situation where you have a special need, it's much more likely to be able to find somebody through that kind of organization. I've had situation where a client of mine was an escrow company, and somebody from Eastern Europe got all the money on one trust account for one a particular escrow, and I had as a contact somebody who's an internet specialist. We were able to figure out what went on, and fortunately, because of our homework, we realized that the money was released because the lender didn't have strong enough protections. So instead of the escrow company being liable, the bank took care of paying that. Well, if I didn't have that connection, we would have had a real difficulty proving our case.
Wow. Well, you know, all the stuff we're talking about is so important. And to kind of expound a little bit more, we're about 5 minutes left of airtime. Expound on a little bit more on all the things you said. I mean, I think it's so important. And you mentioned it, and I agree with you. And, you know, you were gracious enough to reach out to me after we met at a conference. And, you know, we met for breakfast, and then that led to you being here on the show. But, you know, the whole idea is to be proactive in how you connect with people. And always, we always tell people, no matter what anybody says to you, always be polite. Never, because, you know, it's just not, first of all, it's not, doesn't help any matters any, and then, it escalates and people get, their voices go up and stuff like that. And none of that helps anybody. But what's really important is to give decorum to everybody that you're talking to. And I think when you live your life that way, in business as well as personal, you know, it just goes a whole lot further and you make a lot more good contacts and have a lot more productive days. I think
if you have a good reputation for doing that, it opens a lot of doors, and I've had situations of that nature.
Yeah, and I got an email the other day from a guy who I connected with last November, and he hooked me up. He's an attorney up in Oregon, and he hooked me up today with some guys that are looking for some help on a deal. I have no idea what it's about, but the point is, that here's a guy I talked to in November. I connected with him on LinkedIn. You know, we have thousands of people on our LinkedIn, so, you know, we write to them from time to time, all of them. But, you know, on specific topics, you just never know. And you don't know who's looking at your LinkedIn. You don't know – well, you do, actually. But, you know, you're constantly wanting to build that base, you know, increase it. And you can do it all. What's interesting and why we call the show Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money is about how do you get started. You know, how do you, you know, build this base? How do you build this trust group around you? And we wanted people like you on the call because, or on the show, I should say, because people need help and they don't know where to turn. And if they call you up and they say, hey, I heard you speak on Blog Talk Radio on Ken and Dana's show, right? You know, you're going to go, oh, okay, well, okay, now I know where it came from, rather than I just found you on Google. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's a difference. I mean, they know something about you. Not only have they researched a little bit about you, but they've also heard you speak and on your experience and on your abilities and, you know, which are obviously very extensive, you know, and hopefully it's helpful to everybody. I mean, the whole idea.
There's one other thing that I try to do to make sure I'm giving back and opening the door to people, which is I send out a monthly newsletter.
That's great.
On a topic, it's California-oriented because that's where I am, but on something that I think I'm giving information before it's known to most people. And
sure.
It gives them an opportunity to plan and not be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually entertaining as well, I hope.
That's great.
If people want to be on my list, that's great because it's free. I just shoot it out by email.
Okay. So we're about a minute and a half left on air. You want to give people how they can reach you and how they get in touch with you and the best way for them to communicate with you? We're 90 seconds on our countdown.
Yes. They can reach me. I have a couple of email addresses. CobertLaw.com would be the best one for this purpose. And they can also, you know, go on my website, look at my blogs, see all the past articles that I've written so they can get information and get a feel for what would be like if they received the newsletter and worked with me.
Okay.
So that's the best way to reach me.
Okay, is there a phone number or a website address that you want to give out?
My office phone number, 818-986-4200. I'm located in Encino, California.
Oh, great. Okay. And what's your web address?
The web address, it's cobertlaw.com or www.cobertlaw.com.
Okay, good. And well, we have about 30 seconds left. Dana, do you want to give people how they can get in touch with you real quick, and then we'll wrap it up and say thanks to Joe.
Yes, folks, you can reach out to us at dealswithkd@gmail.com. That's deals with K like Ken, D like Dana, @gmail.com. And you can text us or phone us, 269-849-9510. please let us know what it is that you're writing about and how we can help you. A phone number to reach you and a good time to speak to you would be good as well.
Okay, good. So we've just lost air, but that's okay. We're still recording. Joe, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you as a guest. We hope it's been a good experience for you as it has been for us. We look forward to working with you, and let us know if you hear from any folks on this. And, you know, we're here for you, and it's been really a pleasure working with you. And, Dana, thanks for helping to arrange this.
And I've enjoyed it very much. It went by so fast.
I know.
It was very pleasurable, and thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, we have kind of a format we run by. So this will be in the archives, and we'll send you a link, and we'll go from there, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks,
bye-bye.
Everybody. Okay, bye.